We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
And once again, good morning. The instruction that we have in the sixth chapter of Galatians about bearing one another's burdens applies to a wide range of things in our Christian lives. When one member of the congregation has sorrow, all members should be anxious to help bear that burden. When one member of the congregation suffers financial catastrophe, all members should rush to help bear that burden. And there are many other faces that this burden bearing can take, but Paul has one particular one in mind in these five verses with which he opens the chapter. And it is when a brother or sister has been caught in a trespass. And the word is strong, caught. There isn't any doubt. The old King James language says, overtaken in a trespass. It's clear. They did it. And everybody knows it. And we should take that word trespass seriously. I've explained this many times, but I'll explain it once more. The Bible looks at what we would call sin in three categories. When it's correctly translated, the word sin usually should be understood as sinfulness. It describes a condition into which we have descended, having become less than we were intended to be. To be a sinner is to have become less than God made you. Iniquity refers to an inner weakness, a bent place, a brokenness that is on the inside of us that makes us subject to some particular temptation. I have frequently said that you could fill my house with booze and drugs until there wasn't barely room for me to walk, and my only problem would be that there isn't room for me to walk because I have zero inclination toward substance abuse. Just is no temptation to me whatsoever. So I get no bragging rights for resisting it, because there's no attraction there for me. But there are other areas inside of me where there is a bent place, where temptation can reach these weak areas. Are my iniquities. And we all have them. But trespass, the word used here, we all know what it means when you put up that no trespassing sign. Here's a line, don't cross it. A willful, intentional crossing of a line that we should have observed. We knew better. And we stepped across that line anyway. When a brother or a sister is caught in a trespass, what to do? That is the question. And it's obviously a question because there's more than one possible response. Well, we could just avert our eyes and walk on, continue our journey, and leave them to get up if they can, or fall behind if they can't. We could do that. Or we could stop and we could say to them, what's the matter with you? Why do you insist on carrying this iniquity around with you? It just gets you into trouble. If you insist on carrying it, you're going to have to learn to manage it. You're going to have to learn to bear the weight, ship your own freight, get up, do your job. Get up! We we could do that. Or we could reach down and help them. We can work, as Paul says, in a spirit of gentleness to restore them. And we can set about to bear one another's burdens, even and especially when it concerns a brother or sister who has fallen into sin. And recognizing that they are burdened does not justify sin. That's not what it's about. Part of our bearing their burden is the effort to help restore them, move them past their sin. And I realize that there's more than one kind of situation. Some people are enjoying their sin, embracing their sin, and it calls for a difference in strategy. But even that person is burdened, and we have to recognize it and admit it, that we are all so burdened. And the load can become so heavy. Now, again, we're on this journey together. We're supposed to be progressing together. If you find me lounging in the grass, chewing on beef jerky and sucking on an orange crush and enjoying myself, that's one thing. But when you find me face down in the dirt, pressed down by a burden I cannot carry, that's another. What will we do? First reaction, leaving them to fend for themselves if they can, suffers because it lacks love. Second reaction, criticizing, lashing out in anger and disappointment, may also lack love, but it has another problem. It infers a sense of superiority. I realize you were stupid enough to do this. I would never do it. You can't seem to get your own load up on your shoulders and go, but me, I got mine. I got mine. Obviously, I would never. But would you? I'm going to tell you an observation of mine forged over the decades. We go through what Solomon described as seasons way back in the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. And in some of those seasons, we find ourselves to be spiritually strong. And just raise your hand if you have had those seasons where you were spiritually strong. Yeah. But there are other seasons, aren't there? And we've been through them. Seasons when we were spiritually weak. And I see people nodding without my having to ask that they have been through those seasons as well. And usually this feeling of superiority comes from someone who is in a season of strength and who perhaps foolishly thinks that it will last forever. I'm strong and I'm done with weakness. You ought to be done with it too. Get up. You're fooling yourself when you compare yourself in a moment of strength to your brother or sister in a moment of weakness. Mark Oberly still here? Where did he go? He's across the hall. Okay, Mark Oberly's across the hall. It's not fair to pick on him today. There he is. There he is. And while he's looking in the door, I'll just say it like this. I'm fast and I can prove it. I will race Mark. All right, Mark, yes. Everybody watched how Mark's knee is troubling him today. This would be an unfair race. How many of you have seen me when I have to break the cane out of the closet because my own knee is out? Many of you have. See, that would be the day for Mark and I to race. But it's not a fair comparison in a time when my knees are doing okay and his are doing bad. And I have to recognize that the day is going to come again when I have to break that cane out of the closet. And this is true about our spiritual strength. I may be strong today, but I will almost certainly be weak again at some point in the future. Maybe today I am batting those temptations off like pesky gnats, but that doesn't mean I won't fall tomorrow. And when Paul says to work to restore each other in a spirit of gentleness, and then to bear one another's burdens, in between those two clauses comes this: look out for yourself, lest you are the one tempted next. Fulfilling the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens, working in the Spirit of Christ to restore each other with gentleness, is not only the best defense for the one who has fallen at this moment, it is the best defense for those of us who think we are standing too. Watch out for yourself, because you may be next. It could be me with my face in the dirt, pressed down by a load that I cannot support. So rather than kick each other when we're down, rush to bear one another's burdens. Paul says, don't deceive yourself by thinking you're something when you are nothing. And outside of Christ, we are nothing. Don't get to that point by comparing yourself to your brother in a moment of weakness where you inflate your own ego counterproductively, because after all, Paul goes on to say, each one will bear his own burden. And I think, wait, what? Didn't we just say that you're supposed to rush to bear one another's burdens? And suddenly we get down here to this verse and it says, for each one must bear their own burden. I'm not the first person to sense something of a contradiction in these two ends of the passage. And I've read all the commentaries, because this passage has been a question for me for a number of years. I've read all the commentaries, and I know what the standard approach is, and I can only tell you that I have just run out of patience for it. I don't believe it's true. But I will share it with you anyway, because what I have come to believe about this verse, I am virtually alone. I don't know anybody else who thinks this. I am at odds with almost all of my scholarly brethren in the way I interpret this verse, and I tell you that just so that you can use the appropriate amount of salt when you listen to what I say. Maybe you will prefer the standard interpretation, and that's okay. Standard interpretation is this, that Paul uses two different words for burden. And he does. The word that he uses for burden when he says bear one another's burdens is not the same word as the one he uses for burden when he says for each will bear his own burden. Two different words for burdens. And I'm a big one for looking at the specific Greek words and knowing that they often make a world of difference. I can just tell you that I studied and studied these two words. And in this case, I really can't come up with all that much difference. It seems to me that it's like you used a sentence in which you said both freight and cargo. Well, okay, maybe some slight distinctions can be made. Maybe historically freight is associated with land transportation and cargo with air or sea. But they're close enough for me to be interchangeable in this sense. And I don't think that Paul meant something different by the two words. They are just not that different. But if you do buy that, then you come to this. The burden that we're supposed to bear for people is in some quantitative or qualitative way different than the burden we're supposed to bear for ourselves. And there, the interpretations go wild, at least 100 different ideas about why this burden is different from that burden. Some say, well, the one burden is insurmountable. You can't bear it by yourself. And the other burden is something that you can. And then you start listing those differences between burdens you can bear and burdens that you can't bear. And it goes on. This is the standard interpretation of this verse. I have just come to the point where I don't believe that. So now I'll tell you what I think. And again, you take it with all the salt that is necessary and feel free to reject it. Again, don't arrive at a counterproductive, self-inflated sense of yourself by comparing your conduct to the conduct of other sinners. That's a losing game. Because in the end, we are all just sinners. Raise your hand if you're a fallen sinner. Here you go. Raise your hand if this is your only hope to become a redeemed sinner. Okay, there we are. So no future in comparing myself to other sinners and hoping that I come off favorably in the comparison, because sin is sin and sinners are lost unless they are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And I think that what Paul sets up here in the end is an opposite track. If you insist on living by this kind of comparison, if I insist on comparing myself to Mark while my knees are strong and his knee is momentarily weak, if I insist on living by these kind of comparisons, I am setting up a standard where I succeed by my own behavior, by my own righteousness. In other words, I set myself up to bear my own burden. And what I should be doing instead is not comparing myself to other sinners, but judging my conduct by the standard of Jesus Christ. Try that one and see how you come out. And Paul says, if you consider it this way, and you come off good, and I don't think I am hurting by putting in parentheses here, but you won't. But if you did, you would have some reason for boasting. I compare myself to Jesus Christ and I come off looking okay. But I don't. And if I did, I could bear my own burden. But I don't. And I can't. And I think this is what Paul is saying, that if you insist on this standard, if you refuse to bear one another's burden because that guy is responsible for his own weakness, unlike me, who is so strong and righteous and perfect, that you insist on bearing your own burden, good luck with that. That's what I think is the correct understanding of this passage. But I offer it with all the qualifications that I have mentioned. What I am certain of is this. We are to bear one another's burdens. And I may very possibly be preaching to the choir today. I have found a high capacity for that kind of burden bearing and sharing in this congregation. And yet I know that the spirit of pride can creep in and create problems for us. And we can come to have that inflated sense of ourself that leads us into trouble. And so I say to you, bear one another's burdens, for this fulfills the law of Christ, who bore my burden and yours, carried it to the cross and nailed it there, taking it out of the way that I might reach the goal when I otherwise never could have. And then I will say this. Maybe some of us are burdened today. And we do our best to hide it because, after all, we don't want to be the weak one. But I want to tell you, if you are burdened, if it feels so heavy that you just don't think you can make it through another week, another day, I hope that you would come to me, to the elders, to this congregation, because it is my hope that we would help bear your burden. That's the spiritual kind of home that we wish to provide in this congregation.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.